السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My brothers and sisters, earlier today we were thinking, where would we eat? The reason is we've been traveling a lot, and coming from Newcastle via Edinburgh to Aberdeen, we were in two minds. Should we eat in Edinburgh or should we come up to Aberdeen and have a bite here? And I know the hospitality of all of you. Each one of you would fight to say, let's go to my house. Am I right?
Yes.
MashaAllah. But nonetheless, we thought it would be unfair to go to someone's house, because the others might think, why did he go there and not come to us? So to maintain the love and the peace, we just decided, let's go to one of the closest restaurants to the masjid. And so we decided to go to Lahore Karai. MashaAllah. And the brothers entered, and MashaAllah, they were told in advance, don't over order. Now there's a reason I start this way, because alhamdulillah, we were able to finish whatever we ordered, and we were quite a few men. You know, when we say men, we mean that, you know, it's not a joke, you got to order, you know. But nonetheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to do certain things, and He has put in front of us so many things and told us what's right and wrong, and asked us to use our brains, our capacity, and the choice that He gave us to do the right thing. Obviously, it's Allah who does what He wants. Allah allows you or disallows you. But He says, I gave you a choice, because I chose to give you the choice, and I told you to do the right thing. I put good in front of you, bad in front of you. I gave you the brain and the energy, and I told you, do the good and stay away from the bad, and I let you go. And when you went, it was up to you to decide what to do. I know what my Lord said. I know I have the energy to do either of this, but I will only do what pleases my Lord, because He made me and I'm going to go back to Him. So before I proceed, the food was very nice. MashaAllah, beautiful. And guess what? We capped it at the end with a cup of tea. MashaAllah, tea. And if you know the Lahori tea, you will know what we had. The point being raised now is Allah tells us, O man, do not be wasteful. Don't waste. I've been traveling the world with Abdullah Aid for some time now. And wallahi, if you were to see the amount of people who don't have anything to eat, you would be ashamed to leave the crumbs on your plate. And you would be embarrassed to dish out more than you can eat. And you would be embarrassed to eat too much to the degree that you're so full you become lazy. How can we do that while others don't even have this? Allah tells us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in more than one place in the Quran, to be careful of extravagance and wastefulness. Listen to some of the verses. One of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا. Don't be wasteful, wasting things. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Those who are wasteful, they are the brethren of shaitan. Oh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. Those who are wasteful, extravagant, they want to waste. They want to throw things away that are useful. Subhanallah. Allah says they are the brethren of shaitan. Why? Because Allah told you to do something, shaitan is telling you to do something, and which way did you incline? This way or that way? The wrong way. So it's better to take less in your plate and take again if you want. But don't just fill your plate such a mountain that even Mount Everest is dwarfed. You know what I mean. But subhanAllah, you can take once or twice. I remember visiting one of the Far East Asian countries, and there was a buffet. There was a buffet. And you know, when you're paying £10 and they tell you eat all you can, what do people do? Let's be honest. They will take the plate and fill so much of what they want and what they don't want, because all of it is included, right? And they take so much and they make a mountain of it and they eat. Sometimes they can't finish that. I remember entering a restaurant and it said there that this is the price of the buffet, and whatever remains in your plate when you are done, we charge you X amount for every 100 grams that you've wasted. Wallahi, I was touched. I said, this is the way it should be. Now I was watching, see, the people are taking so little. And then they go back and take so little. And I'm thinking, you are worried about the fine you're going to have wasted food, and you're not worried about Allah. Come on, I'm a believer. I'm supposed to be more concerned about my Lord. Subhanallah, but it's a good rule, right? Imagine if you had to implement that rule in your own home. I tell you, recently, I've been speaking to older people who are healthy and asking them, what is it that got you to this level of age with such good health? Because we are getting there and we want to have some tips. And a lot of them say, we cut down on our food. On our food. We used to eat so much and we cut down a little bit, cut down a bit more. And the less we're eating, the better we're feeling. So I wasn't a smarty pants to tell them, well, stop eating, you'll feel the best. Because if you're saying the less we're eating, the better we're feeling, the end of that might be, stop eating, you'll feel so good. No, because they'll end up going to Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all Jannah. Nonetheless, that was just a joke. But on a more serious note, yes, the less they ate, the better they felt. And then I thought of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, where he says, فَإِنْ كَانَ لَا بُدَّ فَثُلُثٌ لِلطَّعَامِ وَثُلُثٌ لِلشَّرَابِ وَثُلُثٌ لِلنَّفَسِ. If you really would like to eat and you want to consider yourself a believer who's eating, what should you do? One third for solids, one third for liquids, and one third for air. In a nutshell, you get up from your place of eating and you're still a bit hungry. Do we do that? Do you know what we do these days? Wallahi, I've been to restaurants where the starters alone have made me full. Am I right or wrong, guys? The starters alone, when we don't have so much of cash in our pockets, say, let's go there and have starters and we'll go away. So you have starters alone. After that, the main course comes. All of the main course is above the one third. It's your belly is full, and the belly is created with an elasticity. So when you put more, it stretches and stretches. It will go more and more. And later on, how it's going to fight with you in order to digest it, there are different sounds and different whatever else. But you get the main course coming in and you're eating and you're busy eating. And when it was expensive, you make sure you're eating, because I had to pay for this. It costed 15 quid. I'm not just going to leave it. Come on. And you got to eat more. And then what happens? You're done. Alhamdulillah. Like, it's right at the top here. And on top of that, there's dessert that comes in. Do you know why they call it dessert? At that point, you should desert the table. I promise you. At that point, you should desert that table. Leave it. No, you don't. They say, no, this ice cream, it will melt. When it goes in, it will find its way in the gaps that are created by the food that you've chewed. Come on, come on. Stop your marketing business. Let's go back to the sunnah. And we will tell you, brother, order less. And eat slightly less. My sister, we may not have such a big problem with the sisters, but maybe more with the brothers. Or am I wrong? Allahu Akbar. I see someone saying yes so loudly. May Allah forgive you. Luckily, they can't see who you are, my brother. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness tonight. You wouldn't have food back at home. But nonetheless, again, I say this because when you travel the world and you watch those who are struggling in war zones, you watch those who are struggling in zones where there have been hardship and difficulty. You watch those who are struggling in places where there have been floods and earthquakes and volcanoes and famine and drought and so on. Wallahi, you start thinking to yourself, how do we thank Allah? If you don't want a day to come to you when you have a problem with food, then start thanking Allah from now. Thank Allah by doing a few things. Number one, don't be wasteful. We read one verse. Don't be wasteful in anything. Even in your spending. Allah speaks about spending and Allah says, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ عُنُقِكَ وَلَا تَبْسُطَهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطُ. When you are spending, don't be so miserly and don't spend everything. You know, don't just be extravagant. In the middle. In the middle. Allah speaks about the worshippers in Surah Al-Furqan and He says,
وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا.
What a beautiful verse. A true believers are those who are moderate. When they spend, they are neither miserly nor are they wasteful. But rather, they spend in a beautiful way, a balance. I know what I need, I'm going to spend according to what I need. That's it. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, number one, to show gratitude to Allah, don't waste. Secondly, when it comes to consuming things, don't waste, even if it is water. You turn on the tap and just because the pressure is nice, you turned it on full and you made wudu. We used one full bucket for your wudu. Whereas in other places, there's no water. All you needed was one bottle. Why did you waste the water? You're a believer. Do you know you can get Jannah just by conservation? By saving things. You might say, well, it's my water, I'm paying for it. That attitude is wrong. You are on earth sharing it with almost 8 to 10 billion people. You can't just say, I'm going to use the bucket, so what, I paid for it. It depletes, it does deplete. Fresh water is scarce on earth. So be careful, conserve the water and earn a reward from Allah. And perhaps if you have the right intention, you can earn Jannatul Firdaus. When you don't waste, you might say, well, if I don't eat much, how is that food going to end up in Palestine? It's a question someone might ask. And young kids always ask such smart questions because they are thinking that, look, I'm looking at the food, there's a big chicken here. So say, for example, if I only ate one piece, there's 3/4 of it left. How is that going to help the poor in the world? I tell you how it will help. It will help if you only ordered the quarter rather than the whole chicken and then took the amount that you were ready to spend on the rest of it and put it somewhere in the right direction. Today I'm with Abdullah Aid. If you are saying that it's the first time I came to Aberdeen, I agree with you. Only today I found out that it's actually Muslim because there's a deen in Aberdeen. Allahu alam. Someone told me that today. I think it was Sheikh Ma'ruf himself. Yes. And then I thought to myself, maybe after you're in the deen, you can go to Edinburgh and have Eid. Anyway, you know my grandpa jokes, right? My grandpa jokes. But nonetheless, if you think it's my first time, yes, it is my first time. I'm glad to be here. How did I come here? It was Abdullah Aid who told me, let's go. We meet our brothers and our sisters. We'll talk to them. We'll conscientize them about people across the world. You don't have to only donate through Abdullah Aid. You can donate through anyone and everyone. But the matter here, today I've chosen a topic, don't be wasteful. No matter what it is. Look at your closet. Brothers and sisters, go into your cupboard at home. How many pairs of clothes do you have? How many shoes do you have? How many perfumes do you have? How many watches do you have? How much of this do you have? And I promise you, think to yourself, I need to do better than this. And I don't mean adding, I mean subtracting. Because if you're going to say, Sheikh told me, I've got 45 pairs of clothes, I need to do better than this, let me get another 20. No, we are saying 45 is too much. Do you know there is something called minimalism at the moment? There are people who are minimalistic. They are living in a very simple abode. Wealthy people in Japan and other countries, go read about them. Wealthy people, they only have 2 or 3 sets of clothes and that's it. And they wear the same clothes every day. It gets cleaned and washed and comes back. And simple home, simple house, you might wonder, but these people have so much of money because they achieve contentment when they live simply and they spend the money on something else. When Allah gives you wealth, tell me, are you going to take it in your grave with you? No way. Today, people respect you on earth because you're a rich man. You drove in with a Lamborghini. All the boys will come out and listen. They'll tell you, please rev. Uncle, rev again. We want to hear the vrrr, right? And can we do a video? You say, no problem. And then you go and stand in front of the car. For what? For what? You stood in front of the car to take a picture, but it's not your car. But nonetheless, they will give you respect in the world when you have a lot. Think for a moment, it's not wrong to have a Lamborghini if you can afford it, by the way. If you can afford the best, no problem, it's not wrong. For as long as you are not wasteful. I don't have 10 Lamborghinis. I got one. Sorry, not me. I'm talking about others, right? I don't have 10 Lamborghinis. I got one. Meaning I don't have 10 of this. I got one. Or maximum, maybe I have another one for this or for that. The watch, for example, people might say, you know, I've got two watches. If you are dealing in watches, it's a different story. If you are dealing in cars, you can have 100 and you can buy and sell. But for you and your own personal use, I tell you why. The day you die, what are you going to take with you? You're going to take with you your deeds. Money will only become a deed when you do something good with it. That's all. If it remains, it goes to someone else. Look at the irony. You have a billion. May Allah grant you a billion. Say ameen.
Ameen.
It was a loud ameen. Notice I didn't say the currency. Eh? I just said a billion. So let's see, inshallah. Okay, maybe pounds. Okay. I believe in Scotland you have a slightly different note, right?
Scottish.
Okay. Sterling. Okay. Same sterling, but it's... Okay, but he said Scottish. I think he dropped the two T's from the center. Allah make it easy. We say Scottish. Okay. But nonetheless, say you get a billion. You have a billion, right? How can you convert that into good deeds on the scale of the Day of Judgment? What are you going to do with it? That's what is of essence. So you might want to have a better home, mashallah, no problem, have a nice home. As long as you're not going to sleep over your salah, as long as you're not going to forget Allah and your commands and your instructions, you can have a lovely home, you can have beautiful air conditioning, lovely carpet, a nice ambience, a beautiful swimming pool, you can have someone helping you, you can have so many other things, mashallah, and all of that, subhanallah, rabbil alameen, guess what? It's not haram. But with that, you might want to add, I've got beautiful perfumes. I've got three lovely ones. You know, I've got a beautiful, set of clothing. I've got 10 pairs of clothes. Alhamdulillah. Think to yourself, how much have I given other people? So Allah says, we gave you wealth. We firstly want you to look at your relatives. First, who does Allah want you to look at when you have? Whether you get along with them or you don't get along with them. Allah says, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ وَالْمِسْكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ. Before miskeen, Allah says, ذَوِ الْقُرْبَى. Before the poor person who's out in the public, Allah says, look at your relatives, your brother, your sister, someone in need, your family members in need. Make sure that you give them. You might say, but you know what? I have a difficult relationship with them. It's not easy. They are difficult. Or my brother-in-law or my sister-in-law is a very tough person. I don't wish to help them. I'm not helping them because of them. I'm helping them because of Allah. That's what it is. Allah knew who your sister-in-law was going to be. Allah knew who your brother-in-law was going to be. Many people use these excuses. But Allah says, we made it that way just to test you. You have a billion. These guys are struggling. They don't even have fees to pay for the kids. And here you are. You should be ashamed of yourself that in your family circles, as a billionaire, there are people who can't afford basic things. You should quietly or openly help them. Put your pride aside. That's your test from Allah. وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ. You say, oh Allah, I obey your instruction as difficult as it is. I'm going to give. It's not easy. To get paradise, it's not a joke. You got to get up for Fajr. Waking up for Fajr is not easy. You have to push yourself. If you don't push yourself, you won't achieve. Some of the youngsters, they look at those who are successful and say, uncle, how did you succeed? Auntie, how did you get to where you are? A lot of them will tell you, with hard work. We got up and we were not lazy. We made sure we worked hard. If you're not prepared to work hard, you won't achieve. Man jadda wajad, whoever works seriously and takes things seriously and works hard, they will see the result, they will achieve. Others won't. So the same applies to you and I. You want to achieve something, work hard and you will achieve it by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you have the wealth, give. Who do you start with? Your relatives, your family members, those who are near you. And after that, where do you go? You start going to those in your community. And from the community, you make the circle bigger and bigger. And then you reach out to those overseas who might need your help. Sometimes there is a more desperate need a little bit further away. You will have to prioritize and go far because that's an immediate need. Do you get the point? As we are speaking here, our brothers in Lebanon and our sisters are suffering unprecedented injustices and warfare. And our brothers and sisters in Palestine, in Gaza, in the West Bank and elsewhere are suffering unprecedented aggression against them, butchering of innocent lives. May Allah protect them. Amen. May Allah grant them success upon success, victory upon victory, and may Allah take care of them and forgive our weakness. An ummah of a few billion, and we were unable to save a single life. May Allah forgive us. Even those who make a huge noise, every noise they made, yes, there was some form of benefit that happened from all the people who did whatever they did, but it didn't save a life. It carried on. It kept. It's going on as I'm talking to you right now. Right now, it's going on. I'm ashamed of my own self. May Allah forgive me and forgive all of us. And imagine we're sitting, mashallah, we have a beautiful gift of Allah. We have peace, we have comfort, we have good neighbors, Muslim and non-Muslim. We get on with the people. We try our best to fulfill their rights. They fulfill our rights. Mashallah, tabarakallah. We are earning, we have so much. Don't be wasteful. Consider the others. And when you consider the others, firstly, pray for them as well. Oh Allah, help them, grant them, clothe them. Do you know the winters? In some of the camps that I visited, in parts of Jordan, some parts of Turkey, where there are still the Syrian refugees from the Syrian war, in the winters, wallahi, you and I would not be able to last for 10 minutes out there. It is freezing cold, ice cold with snow and absolutely brutal weather. And what do they rely on? Wallahi, they rely on you and I. I've got 20 jackets. You know what? I don't want to have 20 anymore. Not that I'm throwing them away. But instead of buying the next one, I'm just going to give the money and say, please, I want to do some clothing for people who are living in tents anywhere in the world. They are my brothers and my sisters. They have a pressing need. Their life is at stake. I will definitely reach out to them. When I'm going to eat the next time, when we go out to eat, how much money do we spend? Wallahi, we spend. It's not cheap anymore. You go out just for a pack of chips, fish and chips. What does it cost you?
£10.
See, everyone knows because everyone has fish and chips. And one iron brew. What does it cost you? They say it's from this part of the world, right? Correct?
Yeah.
There we go. £10, £11. MashaAllah, it's good. I'm not saying don't eat. I'm saying don't waste. That's what I'm saying. Make sure you eat in a proper way. Sunnah, thank Allah. Read your dua before you eat and thank Allah when you're done eating. And every time you just take a little bit and give it away. I give you one other example. Why do I say every time take a bit? Today we're in this masjid. Okay, it's a beautiful center, community center as well. It was purchased with money. It must have costed millions. Am I right? They still have a debt to pay for this place, right? If each one of us who comes here on a Friday thinks to himself or herself that how much money do you think it costed here for the lights, the water, the salaries, the carpets, where I parked, how I came in, my shoes, the water I used, the wudu facilities, the towels or the drying facilities they had, whatever it might have been, all of that that I used, I came, I made my Jum'ah, I heard the talk, I did my farad and I walked away. How much do you think that costed? Approximately. Someone says £500, someone says £10. I'd like to say even if it is £1. Have we ever put £1 in the box and said, this is not to donate far across the world. This is only for what I used in this masjid, for me, my own self. Let me tell you who's paying for you. Some other person who's donated. They covered your cost. And some of us are wealthy. We won't give to the masjid. You know why? Allah did not put it in our hearts. That's why. But we go to the same masjid, a poorer person than us has covered expenses of whatever we used in the house of Allah. They are getting a full reward of us doing our salah and whatever else we are doing in the house of Allah. And you know what? We didn't even donate. But you're wealthy. It's hard sometimes. It's so difficult. So all I'm saying is 5p. 5p. Not too much. If you put it together and we're a few thousand of us, you cover the cost of that whole Friday by the will of Allah. May Allah. Is it something difficult? This is what I mean by saying, don't be wasteful. Then I teach you something. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has guaranteed us that nobody's wealth was ever depleted because of a charity they gave. Nobody's wealth was ever lost because they gave a charity. In fact, whenever you gave a charity, you got back more, always. So much so that some of the scholars have said that whenever we've spent wealth, we've always gotten back more. The hadith, Qudsi, Anfiq yabna Adama, Unfiq alayk. I use it often because I've found it to be absolutely true. Allah is saying, O son of Adam, spend, meaning in the right cause, and I'll spend on you. You give and watch how I give you back. That doesn't mean give £100 and then sit at home and lie down and sleep and look at the ceiling all the time and imagine that 200 is going to come down from there. No, no, no. Allah wants you to work hard, but your barakah in your business, in your job, in your promotions, in your salaries, in whatever else it might be, Allah gives you barakah. Imagine a person who's safeguarded from an expense that could have been there had the mercy of Allah not engulfed that person. For example, I could have made a big accident and spent so much of money repairing a motor vehicle. But Allah says, no, we'll save you and spare you that because of a charity you gave. As-sadaqatu tutfi'ul bala. Because of a charity you gave, we extinguished the calamity. Had it not been for that and you had this calamity, you would have spent that amount anyway doing something else. You follow what we're saying? May Allah grant us goodness. So, like I said earlier, let's not be wasteful. I give you another example. Recently, I was in the Gambia. And there's a difference between a well and a borehole. Quickly, I can tell you, a well is where they've sunk a hole into the ground. And it's quite shallow. And it has water that they pick up with buckets or with a pump. And a lot of the times, because it's shallow, it's connected to the water table. So it's seasonal. Some seasons there is something, some seasons there is nothing. It can go and come because it's a well. But when there is a borehole, it's much deeper, it's much stronger, it has a submersible pump in most cases, and they pump the water out, they use solar panels to generate electricity that will run that pump, that will then fill a huge tank that is put up there, and the people will use from the 5,000 liter tank or 10,000 liter tank for the week, and end of the week it fills up again, and so on. Sometimes it's more often, but I've given you an example. Do you know, nobody spoke about how clean or dirty that water is. If it was us, we have water from a tap in some cities. And we'll tell you, be careful, don't drink this water. You rather buy mineral water because this water here has been drunk before. Have you heard that one? Drunk before. The last time I went to London, they told me this water has been drunk 10 times before. I said, are you sure? They said, yes, it's been drunk 10 times before. I had to Google it and it was right. I think the figure must have gone up from 10 to somewhere else by now. Imagine you're drinking water that was drunk before. How did that work? It's a long procedure. Clean water. I'm not saying not clean, but we would still prefer to buy a bottle of mineral water to drink. That one we'll use it for everything else. Yeah? Just the other day, I turned on the tap and I was filling the kettle. And someone says, you sure you want to use that water? I said, yes. We're going to boil it. He says, boiled or not boiled? It's previously drunk water. I said, but it's not wrong. We still drank it. Mashallah, it's halal. Because it was pure, purified, however they purified it. However, the point I'm raising is when you go to those countries, they are super excited by the fact that they have water, even though it's looking a bit murky. Even though it might be a little bit, you don't even know what it contains in there. Too much of this or that. But they are so excited because there is water. And here we are worrying about exactly what this contents of the water is. The only point I'm trying to raise to you is that don't take for granted the favors of Allah upon you. He's favored you. He's given you a lot. Don't waste it. Every droplet counts. Every droplet counts. I entered another restaurant also in Far East Asia. I think it was in Malaysia. And there was a sign saying, your change will make a change. Did you hear that? Your change will make a change. So for you, it's just like 2-3 coins in your pocket, and you know, you're thinking, ah, it's been in your pocket for a few days. No, your change will make a change. Put it in, and there we go. Let's see, your change, my change, his change, her change, their change, everybody's change. And what do we have? We have a nice, good sum of money. We have £100. We can do something. A few people got cardigans to dress in the winter. What was that? Your change made a change. There we go. May Allah Almighty grant us a good understanding. So while we are happy and we're excited about all the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to show gratitude. Allah says, by showing gratitude, you will have increase. When you are ungrateful, our punishment may overtake you. That's a verse of the Quran.
وَلَئِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ.
And if you are ungrateful, then know that my punishment is severe. That's what Allah says. Ingratitude, I'm ungrateful. You see people eating and they order some massive food. And don't point fingers, oh, these people don't. No, no, no. We're all guilty of it on different levels. And they'll have a little bit of it and they leave it and gone, thrown into the bin. If that is the case, without pointing fingers, we just need to say, let's do better, inshallah. That's what I'm here to say today. Let's do better than this. Allah is going to ask you in the Quran. Allah says, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Using emphasis, Allah says, then on the day of judgment, we will ask you, we will definitely ask you about our favors upon you. How we favored you. We're going to ask you, did you have this? How did you use it? Did it draw you closer to us or further away from us? Come closer to Allah. Come. Be truthful. Be a beautiful person. Allah will grant you the best of this world and the next. Because you were a person who was grateful. You were not ungrateful. So what are the other ways of showing gratitude to Allah? Let me explain. The more you get, the more humble you should be. Allah's given you. You have more than this guy, for example. Treat him with respect. He shouldn't feel that you are above him. Instead, either you are exactly the same or you should lift him above you. Offer him the honor, the respect. Have you not seen, and there are so many of them, wealthy people, but they come in, or powerful people, and they come in and they treat you with so much of respect that your heart is really melted. Why? The more you have, the more humble you should become. It's a sign of acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not going to help you to become haughty. Because when you think you are better and you are bigger, tables can turn at any time, wallahi. Look at the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh thought, Fir'aun, he thought he was, he claimed he was the Lord of the world, and he knew he wasn't. But he used to treat people so badly that the day the punishment came, he was so helpless, everything turned around, gone. To this day, the mummy can be found somewhere in Egypt for us to see how helpless this guy was. Yet he was one of the wealthy at the time. The most powerful of his time. What was his crime? His crime was arrogance, haughtiness. He thought too much about himself and of himself. So when you and I have something, please become humble. Look at the people who don't have. Look at others. Look at those who are in tough situations. Do you know, when you walk down the street sometimes, you might see homeless people. A homeless person may not have had a bath or a shower for a while, right? They may not be smelling that good. They don't have the deodorants and the utur that you and I have. They may appear to be a little bit shabby. But you don't know how close they might be to Allah. And even if they were not close to Allah, Allah chose that you are going to pass them on the path. Minimum is don't harm them. You follow what I'm saying? What's the minimum? Don't harm. I might give, I might not give. I might end up greeting, I might not greet based on a fear factor. Sometimes some of the guys can be a bit rowdy. I don't know, right? It depends where you are. I'm not going to encourage you to just sit and greet everybody there. Yet some of them might be a bit scary, in the sense that in some countries, there are some people on drugs and so on who are in similar positions. And when you show a little bit of friendliness to them, they might take advantage of that. So that has to be your decision. But the minimum is, don't harm them and don't judge them. Don't think, oh, look at these people. Just say, Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me. And at least walk through respectfully. If you can help, help. But don't harm. But if you're going to kick them, throw something at them, even if you're taking food to them, take something that you think is edible. I remember a true case where I was walking with a youngster and he was giving a packet of food to a poor person. And he told me, you know, I'm supposed to have done this 3 days ago, but I didn't. I forgot. But I remembered now I gave it. I said, what is in it? He said, it's a bit of the rice and a bit of the thing we were eating. So because it was left over, we didn't want to waste it. So I decided, I was told, his folks or someone told him to give it. He says, so I'm giving it away. I said, was it in the fridge? He says, no, it was out. Okay, fair enough. I wonder what it was. But I told him, listen, what if that was moldy? Right? Am I right? 3 days out. It wasn't in the fridge. It's food. If it was yours to eat the third day, I eat food sometimes that's a week old. I do. But it's been in the fridge and I'll heat it up properly. No problem. But if it was out, you got to check it. It could be moldy. Something could have gone wrong with it. It could start letting off a fermented smell. Even in the case of other foods like fruits and so on. You can't have that. So before you give it to a poor person, make sure it is edible. Something you would eat. Allah mentions it in the Quran. That you know, وَلَا تَيَمَّمُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنْهُ تُنْفِقُونَ وَلَسْتُمْ بِآخِذِهِ. Don't aim at the bad stuff that you're going to give away, yet you yourself would not have taken something like that. You yourself would not have taken something like that. So luckily we didn't know exactly what the condition of that food was, but the point raised is, why leave it for 3 whole days before you're going to give it away, right? You'd rather give it away the first day or refrigerate it. Put it into a freezer and maybe heat it up, because that's also being considerate. Imagine you go, you meet a homeless person and you're giving them frozen food. The guy doesn't have a microwave. He doesn't have a stove. He doesn't have anything. He's going to be eating not rice, but ice, right? The R dropped off. It was frozen. Yeah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease. So that is one of the ways of earning the pleasure of Allah. By showing compassion, giving, and not thinking too big of yourself when Allah has blessed you and Allah has given you. Remember, my beloved brothers and sisters, every day Allah allows us to see the morning. Allah allows us to see the morning and He's watching us for the whole day. That's why when you get up, there is a dua you read. What do you say? Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us life after He had literally taken the soul out of the body in a way He knows best. How that soul went, or how the connection of the soul and the body is during sleep, Allah alone knows. So whatever Allah did, I do know in the morning when I got up, it was back to normal. I was back. And I thank Allah for that. And I have a new day. When I have a new day, what am I going to do? I'm going to be the best possible person. I'm going to increase the goodness. I'm going to praise Allah. I'm going to thank Allah. And I'm going to work hard. It's not wrong to earn. It is not wrong to become wealthy. Like I said, may Allah bless us with a billion. Everyone said Ameen, right? Because it's not wrong to be wealthy. Normally when you say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us, and you say something from this world, people say Ameen loudly, loudly. May Allah bless you. Ameen. Say it loudly, come on. Ameen. Blessings are for the dunya and the akhirah. And sometimes when you make dua just for the akhirah, then people are, Ameen. They say it quietly. The minute you say, may Allah grant you a good spouse. Ameen, 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 Ameen. May Allah bless you with a wife. And you find the married guy saying, Ameen, Ameen. What's the point? Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease. A lot of youngsters here today. May Allah bless you with good spouses. Ameen.
Ameen.
Allah, brother, the guys who say the loudest ameens are always married. Allah, 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 may Allah bless you, my brother. Allah grant you happiness and joy and goodness, and all our sisters too. May Allah bless those who don't have spouses, spouses who will be the coolness of their eyes. Ameen, ameen, ya Rabbi, ameen. And even those who don't have children, may Allah bless you with offspring who will be the coolness of your eyes. It brings me to another thing. Always be happy with the decree of Allah. Allah made you in a certain way, love yourself how He made you. Allah made you a certain race, love it. Allah made you a certain complexion, love it. If other human beings don't like it, it's okay. I've always said they can fly a what? They can fly a?
Kite,
exactly. They can fly a kite. Actually, the reason why you didn't know, there's a shortage of kites. Too many people are flying them at the moment. But nonetheless, if someone doesn't like you because of your race, because of the way Allah's made you, because of the, you know, the what Allah's given you in terms of your structure and so on, so what? It's okay. They are weak, not me. I love myself how Allah made me. I'm not going to pretend to be someone else. When you love yourself how Allah made you, you are liberated. When you're not happy with how Allah made you, oh, it opens the door of shaitan sometimes. And it might lead you to doing things that are so, you know, sapping, that it will sap your connection with Allah. So don't worry. Never mind. It's okay. Let's concentrate on this world a little bit. Sometimes you have people who are very wealthy, but the guy is not good looking at all. Do you agree?
Yes.
In the eyes of Allah, he's good looking. Allah made him. But you look at him and he's so wealthy, and look at this guy, you say, oh. And sometimes you have a really handsome guy and he's a pauper, doesn't really have much, right? And sometimes you have someone highly educated, all A stars and B's, and sorry, A's and A stars, and what do they call them? Distinctions and whatever else, mashallah. A plus. And they are struggling to find a job. And guess who they end up working for? The guys who had C's and B's. Yeah? By default, a lot of the times. It happens. That is Allah showing you that your education is important, but it doesn't mean that because you had A's, you're going to be the richest person here. You might be the sharpest in certain subjects, but someone else is going to be sharper than you in earning money. Can happen. And you know what? One of the things Allah has kept for us is He will give every one of us whatever is our due. اعلم أن نفسا لن تموت حتى تستكمل رزقها. You need to know, no soul will die until it gets everything that was written for it. Every last grain of rice that was written for you, it's going to come to you before you die. So don't worry. If Allah wrote for you, you're going to have a billion. That billion will come. No doubt it has to come. But you have to work hard as well. Because like I said at the beginning of the speech, that Allah has given you a capacity, a God-given capacity, and told you, do this and don't do this. Are you going to get up and work hard towards achieving what you believe is beneficial within what Allah has ordained? And every time you earn something, keep a portion of it for Allah. A businessman in London told me that one day I had nothing. And I pledged Allah to say, oh Allah, if you give me 10% of whatever profit I make, I will always give it for a charitable cause. He says, you won't believe it. Right now, I earn a 7-figure amount every year. And he says, I'm looking to project it beyond that. The amount that is 10% has become so big, but I will never ever betray my promise to Allah. There we go. Why did Allah give you? Because you gave. Allah asked you to only give 2.5% as compulsory. We call it zakat, right? The rest of it, it was not compulsory. It's from you, a charity. That was actually you. And you gave, you gave, you gave, you gave. Allah will give you. May Allah Almighty bless all of us. May Allah grant us ease and goodness. May Allah help us so we can conserve. The world out there is so beautiful, so amazing. We must preserve and conserve. Think about generations to come. Think 50 years from today. What will happen to this globe? Make sure you save water. Make sure you don't waste food. Make sure you are a person who gives. Make sure you look after the entire ecosystem. Don't be a person who contaminates the water and who does not consider other people. Reach out to those around you, those across the whole globe, and see what Allah does for you. He will grant you happiness, contentment, and you will enjoy worshipping Him. Sometimes we enter the masjid and we have an element of laziness or an element of a feeling of rushing. Let me quickly go, let me quickly finish, let me quickly rush out, and let me quickly come back. That's not the right word. Don't use quickly when it comes to prayer. I am guilty. Sometimes I'm with my friends and I tell them, brother, I need to pray. Let me quickly offer my prayer and I'll come back. That word quickly is an insult. That's Allah. How can you say quickly? I'm not saying it's haram, but I'm saying become conscious of it. It's not for Allah. Say, brother, let me pray and I will come back to you. That's the way it should be, right? But sometimes we are in a rush, even with Allah's connection. That's salah. Allah says, He will grant you a contentment. You will enjoy worshipping Allah. Initially, you will pray because you have to pray. Listen to this and see if you understand what I'm saying. Right? Listen to this and see if you understand what I'm saying. Initially, you will pray because you have to pray. You will put hijab because you have to put hijab for the sake of Allah. But when you do it for Allah, a time will come when you will pray because you want to pray. You will put the hijab because you want to put the hijab. So these are the levels that Allah allows you to taste. I'm no longer praying because I have to pray. I'm praying because I want to pray. Big difference between the two. I'm not dressing the way I'm dressing because I have to. I want to. That's why I'm doing it. And I recognize Allah's instruction. Yes. But above that, I want to do it. I'm enjoying doing it. I feel my true identity by doing it. This is how it should be. And in this way, we will be able to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, I want to invite you not just to donate to Abdullah Aid as you are leaving this place, because today they've come with a few buckets and tins in order to give you the opportunity to donate, to be able to reach out to our brothers and sisters, not just in Gaza and not just in... In fact, today we had a request from Lebanon as well, and inshallah we're going to go for it. But we have all over the world, where people are struggling. Sometimes you have had an earthquake, people are not yet healed from it, and there's another disaster. And we start helping there, and there's another disaster. It's not the only charity in the world, but it's definitely a reliable, reputable charity. And I encourage you towards giving, and I encourage you towards reaching out to one another, helping each other, smiling at the face of one another, showing the love for one another, both brothers as well as sisters. And inshallah, in that way, we will earn Jannatul Firdaus. As I leave, I want to remind you, my brothers, it's humanly impossible to shake everyone's hand. It is humanly impossible to shake everyone's hand, right? It's humanly impossible to shake everyone's hand right now, in a few moments. If I had to shake your hands, I would have to be here for quite a bit of a while. Unfortunately, we have traveled back to Edinburgh. So you will have to excuse me. But I'm super delighted that at least I got to see you guys. And the sisters are as well up there. I'm not too sure where to look to address them. That camera, mashallah. Assalamu alaikum, sisters. We acknowledge you and we know you are there. And we really ask Allah to bless all of you. Whatever difficulty and hardship you may be going through, may Allah alleviate it for you. And remember, we are connected for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one day Allah will allow us in a better situation, a better condition to be in Jannatul Firdaus. Until then, أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.